Paddy Power are offering a money-back special in one race every day at Glorious Goodwood and the Galway Festival. That's one race at Goodwood and Galway every day this week. Check out our app for more information. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome along to the Goodwood and Galway podcast. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm joined here on the glorious sunny downs by Lee Mottershead and Paddy Power's Paul Binfield. We will be looking through the four televised races on the Thursday of the great meeting, and then we'll be handing over to DJ and the lads over in Galway for day four over there. So let's kick on first of all with the first of our televised races on Thursday. It's the 150. It's the Matchbook Best Value Exchange Handicap. Binners, how do Paddy Power bet?
I don't know if that is the best value, Bruce, because we're an extra place on this race. Four places each way. We go four Communique, five Al Jellaby, six Rock Eagle, eight Completion, Sing Out Loud, and 17-2 Bar.
Okay, Lee, take it away. How's your punting been so far, first of all? Are you in form or are you keeping your powder dry?
Yesterday was frustrating. Not often I post a punting-related tweet, but I did tweet last week that I really fancied Suedo of the Lennox Stakes and tipped about 12-1 each way. So to be beaten a short head on the line was a bit frustrating.
I can just about do you there, because I fancied Don Juan Triumphant at 33-1, but thanks to the generosity of Binners' employers, they paid four places, so I had a result. Anyway, never mind that. Who's going to win the first on Thursday?
So, first on Thursday is the Extel of old. Remember the old Extel handicap? Luca Kamani, Twin Wazzery, Fish and Chips. Luca's not represented this season, but William Haggis is, with a nice horse Completion. Ran poorly in the Britannia last time, but plenty of fancied horses did. Time before that, he was just touched off by Crack On of Clive Cox's yard, who won at Ascot on Saturday. That's just the form is strong. Got up in trips to help him too, and I think he will win.
Get you.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for Maverick Officer of Dave Simcox. Bruce, at a double figure price, up to 10 furlongs for the first time, but he's out of a Montshire mare, so I think he'll definitely stay, and he's only a couple of pounds higher than when he won at Haydock on his penultimate start.
Lovely stuff. We move on to the 225. The fillies and mares take centre stage here. It's the 1 mile 6 Lily Langtry Stakes, sponsored by Cato Group 2. Nice and wide open, Binners.
Yeah, we can't separate God Given and Pilaster at the top of the market. Bruce, 7-2 joint favourites. Then we go 11-2 Precious Ramotswe, 8 Star Rock, 17-2 Isabel de Urbina, and 10-1 the rest.
Tough test, Lee. Have you got strong fancy?
Well, I think Pilaster sets a standard. She looks very exciting indeed, but her price reflects that. I'm going to be a bit boring and go for Haggis again. Well, not boring, it's 10-1 shot. I like the look of Made to Remember this morning before speaking to William. She was third last time in a mile and a quarter, Group 3 at Newcastle. She's bred by Philippa Cooper, who tends to breed stamina-packed horses. She's got to a mile and six this time, and I thought William was particularly sweet on her. He said she was a sporting each-way bet for sure. And it's often I speak to a trainer who almost recommends a bet, and he almost was there. Well, he was there. So I'd say Made to Remember each way.
Good info. Okay, Binners, who wins this?
I think Star Rock for Huey Morrison, Bruce. She's only rated a couple of pounds behind the joint favourite, God Given. She ran well enough on her seasonal debut at Maison Lafitte just recently. And she's run well over this 1 mile 6 furlongs before, so I think she's got a right chance.
Excellent. Richmond Stakes next.
Paddy Power are offering a money-back special in one race every day at Glorious Goodwood and the Galway Festival. That's one race at Goodwood and Galway every day this week. Check out our app for more information. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Let's turn our attention now to the 3 o'clock. It's the Cater Richmond Stakes, Group 2 for two-year-olds. And a very exposed bunch this time, chaps, aren't they? Normally you get one or two of once raced and you think this could be full of potential. Lee's just bending down there to pick that up very subtly. No one noticed, Lee. Yes, so like I say, an exposed bunch, aren't they, Binners? It's a slightly unusual Richmond Stakes lineup in that sense, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, Bruce. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It would go 11-4 Conchek, 9-2 Marie's Diamond for Mark Johnston, 5 Shine So Bright, 11-2 Sabre, and Landforce, we've already seen money for that one for Aidan O'Brien. That one's 6 from 7, and then it's 7 Charming Kid.
Have you sussed this one, Lee?
I've sussed. I think it's about as uninspiring a Richmond Stakes as I can remember. For a long time, this was a race that was really in trouble. Had a bit of a surge, and then this is a bit of a uninspiring renewal. As you said, they're all exposed.
When I first got into racing, Cecil would fire a few good ones at this, I'd say.
Yeah,
this was a decent old heat, this.
Yeah, sort of Cecil and Leicester in this race, but these days it's... Some races get into like a streak of fashion and some races become unfashionable. Like the Hungerford Stakes is a race that's gone out of fashion. The Geoffrey Free has gone out of fashion. The Richmond has largely gone out of fashion. It's not a strong renewal. As you said, the most of them are exposed. I think whatever wins will be having its big day forever. I think that might be Sabre.
Sabre, okay. Actually, that one finished very well last time, and the commentator didn't say Sabre rattling home. I thought they would have done. I backed it at Royal Ascot. Can that win?
I think it can, Bruce, but I prefer Marie's Diamond for Mark Johnston. He won very nicely the Anglesey Stakes at the Curra last time, stayed on stoutly that day, probably sets the standard amongst, possibly, as you say, a substandard field. And Mark Johnston's two-year-olds are in good form, winning with Dark Vision the Vintage Stakes on Tuesday.
Lovely. Well, the quality level ratchet is up several notches now because we're doing the 3:35. It's the Qatar Nassau Stakes. Six fillies over the mile and two. Cracking race, this. Paddy Power, I think you've got slightly out of line with this one, haven't you? You're very short rhododendron. I was speaking to Frank Hickey on Monday when we did the... last Friday when we did the podcast, and we looked ahead to this, and he cannot have Urban Fox on his mind. I think that's reflecting in how you've priced this up, isn't it?
Well, it is. I'm going to disagree with Frank, but as you know, he's a far better judge than me. We go 15-8 rhododendron, 3 Voracious, 7-2 Urban Fox, 9-2 Wild Illusion, 9 the 1,000 Guineas Heroine, Bilston Brook, and 40-1 Wilhelmina. Slight shame we've only got 6 though, Bruce.
Well, yeah, but they're good ones, aren't they, Benners? We'll stick with you then. Why do you like Urban Fox? Why are you taking on the great man? Frank Hickey loves Voracious here.
Well, I know he loves Voracious, but Urban Fox absolutely hacked up in the Pretty Polly. Forever Together, the English Oaks Heroine, was second that day, beaten easily, and she has subsequently franked the form, finishing second, only beating a short distance in the Irish Oaks. So I think Urban Fox really is the one to beat.
Who do you think's the one to beat, Lee?
Well, I think Urban Fox sets a good, strong standard, and that Curra form is strong. You had Forever Together, who went on to finish second in the Irish Oaks, the third home won a Grade 1 in America, so I don't think that was a fluke. I think Bilston Brook is interesting and he's probably overpriced. 2 wins at Goodwood here last season. Again, the 1,000 guineas win took you by surprise, but she was fourth at Royal Ascot next time out, which suggests it wasn't that much of a shock. But I'm going to go for Voracious. Cracking run first time out in the Coronation Stakes. She had interrupted preparation, missed the 1,000 guineas. Let her roll along that day because they didn't want her on her first start taking a pull and having a difficult race. She ran a race full of promise. She's up in trip partly because they don't want to be banging heads, or not even banging heads, but getting beaten by Alpha Centauri over a mile for the rest of the season. I think the trip will help her. Stout's in great form, and I could just see Frankie pretty much dictating this one.
Okay, 3 more races on day 3 of Glorious Goodwood. Any fancies?
Nothing major, but I like Hughes's horse, Racing Post columnist, in the 5 furlong sprint. Jack Taylor loves downhill tracks. This is definitely a downhill track, and I can see him running well.
And Bennett?
Well, we've got 2 extra place races, Bruce. The 4:10, the nursery, we've got 5 places in that. In the last race, 4 places. In the nursery, I'm going to be cheering on James Watt for friends of mine, trained by Michael Bell. Ran a nice race in the Windsor Castle at Royal Ascot, a credible effort there. And only got beaten a couple of fag papers in a nursery at Ascot earlier this month. So hopefully he can do the business.
Let's get your day 3 naps. Lee Mottershead.
Made to Remember in the Lily Langtry.
And Paul Binfield.
People keep coming up to me at the races and saying Frank Hickey's far better tipster than you. So I'm going to take him on and go for Urban Fox.
Risky proposition. Okay, check your batteries on your phones. Let's hope there's plenty there, because after the break we're going to David Jennings to take you through the Galway card. That'll keep you going for at least another hour.
Paddy Power are offering a money back special in one race every day at Glorious Goodwood and the Galway Festival. That's one race at Goodwood and Galway every day this week. Check out our app for more information.
Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast with me, David Jennings, and I'm delighted to be joined by my esteemed colleague, Mr. Mark Boylan, live from Galway to preview day four of the Galway Summer Festival. Of course, the feature race on day four, Ladies' Day, is the Guinness Galway Hurdle. It's off at 4:35, Mark, and we got a bit of a surprise this morning. We've seen jockey bookings and no Ruby Walsh on Antipost favourite Whiskey Sour.
A bit of a surprise, really. Max Dynamite around 25 to 1, I'd imagine. And although he obviously is well,
he's not 25 to 1 now.
He's not 25 to 1. Now, as you say, look, he's obviously well handicapped over hurdles, but I don't think he likes hurdling. I was quite surprised by it. Perhaps weight, would you think, for with Whiskey Sour's dimensions as a horse?
Yeah, I just think he's a small enough horse, and I think he's got 11-4 now. I think if he had had maybe 11 stone, maybe 10-12, I think Ruby would have rode him. But I'm surprised on Max Steinway too. I give it no chance.
Even Sharjah, I know Patrick maybe gets on well with him, and Patrick, obviously the comment at the start of the year on our Racing Post, what's the word, that no horse deserves to be odds on against Sharjah when he was running against Sam Crow. You know, obviously, look, things have happened since. The ground's probably gone against him. He's interesting towards the top as well. He's a classy horse.
So they're the ones that can't win. What can win? I know you're very, very sweet on one.
I think Davis Charm is a cracking chance. Look, in any race like this, you need all the luck in the world, but I was so impressed with him last year here. Obviously, he was off a much, much lower mark, but he fairly bolted up, and he was well back the previous time. At Ferry House there at Christmas, around December time, he was so green, but he must have so much talent. He must be a very, very good horse. And a couple of pipe openers in the flat there. A nice run last time at Leopardstown. 1-4-4. I don't think you can argue with that. I think he's got to be banged there at the end of the day. And Rachel Blackmore there as well, rider in form. I think there's so many boxes tick from. Perhaps you'd like to see John Joe Walsh firing in a couple more winners at the moment, but bar that, I think he's an excellent chance, Dave.
So if you think he's an excellent chance off 1-4-4, you think he's a proper graded hurdler, you think he could go right to the top?
I'm surprised that he isn't in green and gold. I think this horse could be one of them ones to go on and be a classy sort, whether it be over a fence in time, wherever. He's not the finished article. I spoke to John Joe Walsh around March because he was favourite for the county hurdle at one point. I think he was around 14-16's favourite, and he said we weren't even dreaming about going there. Wasn't even talking about it. He just has to develop into it. But when he does, I think he can be a really, really good horse. Really,
Mark, you horse. Are very excited.
I love this race. I love it. Not sometimes it can break your heart, this race, but I think he's got a great chance this.
You wish to race in 5 minutes.
You know yourself, you don't want to over-anticipate these things now, you know. Keep everything together before the big moment.
You're ready to start celebrating.
What about you? What do you think?
Stop smiling. Look, he can't see this horse beaten. David's Charm for Mark Boylan.
His
look,
that way.
And there's some very, very shrewd judges on David's Charm. Gary O'Brien and at the races obviously fancies it. Mark Boylan fancies it. And a few other of my colleagues fancy it too. So David's Charm is the obvious one. The two I'm going to put up is, I think, Tigris River, last year's winner, still a big price at 16-1. You know, it's going to turn into a bit of a slog now that this recent rain has come. We know he stays. He's only £4 higher. And I certainly think that he can be in the mix. And one at a huge price, a very disappointing mare. Jer's Girl.
Yeah.
Cheek pieces on.
Donny
McInerney rides, yeah. Cheek pieces on. Goes well after a break. I just think Jer's Girl, this could be her race. She's going to get her ground. Gavin Cromwell had a double the other night at Wolverhampton. You know, his string couldn't be in better form. And she's 25-1. Donny McInerney taking off £3. You know, she's a grade one winner. Dual grade one winner.
You know what grade one winners, don't touch it. He's very interesting. Look, obviously the ground's going to be a concern for him. And look, he gave if he jumps like a brutal in Cheltenham in the Grand Annual. But the ground, is if he was to handle it tomorrow, he's a big price at 33s. Done a miler, Galway play it winning rider in the hurdle here. He's a very, look at his grade one performance over hurdles as a novice. Like, he's got some deadly sorts in behind. If he was to anyway recapture it, and Tipperary should leave him a little bit better anyway than he was then. So he'd have to be. But I think 33s, he could be an each way play.
I have a bit of advice for you actually with don't touch it. Don't touch it. Just don't touch it. I'm sick with don't touch it. Yeah, no, he's off my list. So a 1-2-3 from you, Mark, first of all.
Oh jeez, hard enough to get one, but I'll go Davis Charm, don't touch it, and Arishborg.
Okay, I'm gonna go for Jer's Girl, Tigris River and David's Charm. So there's my 1-2-3. It's a cracking card at Galway on Thursday, and we've also got the listed Arthur Guinness Irish EBF Corrib Filly Stakes, and it's a really interesting affair this year. A lot of them are very closely rated, and I have a feeling I know what you're going to tip here.
Go on, tell me what I'm going to tip.
I think you're going to tip I Can Fly.
Sure, I do believe I Can Fly, please, this one, hopefully. I think
you're like R. Kelly.
That's the first time I've ever been compared to R. Kelly.
Yeah, probably not the greatest thing to be compared to R. Kelly.
Can you retract that one, please? But I think the start of the year, I thought there was going to be far more from her. She was very disappointed at Newmarket after a nice run at Leopardstown behind who Steph and Yulon Gold Fairy, who she's reopposing with here. Yulon Gold Fairy, I think, is £4 rated superior to her. They rate off race off levels, but obviously DK around here is lethal as well. But I just thought to myself here that, you know, if she gets back into form, you could excuse Epsom last time. The ground really wouldn't have played to her strengths, and it was very, very gluey. If it could dry at all, there is a breeze here during the day. Hopefully, if it could dry a little bit overnight, I think she could be a big player here. But listen, you respect the Yulon Gold Fairies of the world and those sort of horses, but I do think she's classy. I think she could be a group horse in a listed race here.
And we've seen that, you know, she does handle the ground as well. So I Can Fly is certainly interesting. Ship of Dreams, I thought, ran well in the Sandringham. Was rated 101. Do you know, that's probably the level you have to get to win this race. But I'm going to stick with you. The two of us are together here with I Can Fly in the 325 at Galway. The 4 o'clock is the Guinness Novice Hurdle. And again, Ruby Walsh had a difficult decision here. He's deserted Causey Arch, who's on a roll. And he is trying to gain a little bit of compensation on Exchange Rate, who was a first hurdle faller here on Tuesday evening.
I just wonder here, like, is the Causey Arch is coming into it with more solid out-of-the-thought prospects initially, when you consider you very, very easily forgive the horse Tenacity. But I wonder, is this Ruby Walsh looking to go out there and make a bit of a kind of a statement, I won't say a statement, but just to kind of prove a point with this fella that he wants to, because I'm sure he'll be keeping his whip down the neck, keeping him right coming towards the first. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he really goes out here in determined form on this fella. But at the same time, I find it difficult to split them. I would be going with Ruby, and I think if he's in that sort of mood, he's a smart animal. At Wexford, you have to remember, he was nearly put through the rail in this horse. And how he kept in Paul Townend now with you know what, like the size of litters, you know, it was absolutely fantastic to keep him in there. He must be a decent horse, this fella, and he was fancy to beat other horses on Tuesday's card here. I think he'll take the beating, but I find hard to beat them.
Yeah, I suppose the interesting thing you have to take into consideration here is Pecora was so impressive, won by 8 lengths, bolted up, and Ruby thought that Exchange Rate was better than her. So you have to kind of take that.
I think that's a fair point. I think it's difficult to get away from him. And look, you expect the two of them to be banging. It's a race lacking depth otherwise, I'd be feeling. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I kind of just about favour Exchange Rate over Causey Arch. But I think Causey Arch's one of them horses that just does it on the track.
If Ruby was on Causey Arch, what price would he be?
That's it, yeah. Ruby is making the market here. But I think we're both just about siding with Exchange Rate. There's a couple of handicaps on the card, and we've got 8 races this time on Thursday. What's your other fancies on the card, Mark?
I think Coybeagle will go close, up £3 for the win at Killarney. Perhaps now the ground is a little bit of a concern, but I think very, very going the right direction. The cheek pieces could just be eking out a little bit more out of Coybeagle. The other one I thought in the opener, Schmidt, Henry de Bramme, I thought he was crying out for a trip at Limerick, and he's going to get it here. He's going from 2 mile 2 last time to 2 mile 6.5 furlongs here in the opener. Rachel Blackmore riding, just thought he's a nice horse. He's been racing over 2 miles previously, 2 mile 2 last time. Thought he was looking for it. Ran behind Classic Theatre, who's since gone and won again since. Just thought it was a nice horse. Obviously, the novice chase, the graded one, that's going to be a cracker. You have Cadmium there, who was touted by some in the Mullins camp as the one that they thought was the one for the week to be looking out for. But just be interesting to see Arnua as well. Not that I'm going on the Henry de Bramhead love fest here by any means, but perhaps 2 mile or more so on quick ground rather than 2 mile 2 on a softer surface. But if it was to take me three others outside of the card, I'd be going for Schmidt in the opener. I'd be looking at the other fella, Coybeagle, later on in the card in the mile handicap. And maybe just keep an eye out there for Havelock. I did a piece with Peter Fahey. Not that he would have put you in major confidence at all for the horse, but he's owned by Galway, this Havelock. He had a nice run on his last flat start for the team. Ex-Mark Johnson, I think he was 72 over there. He's 65 here. Just could fall right from him. He's got a nice draw, crept in at the bottom of the weights. Could be an each-way chance at a big price.
Okay. Some pearls of wisdom there from Mark Boylan. The one I like is in the 5:15 Song of the Sky for Joseph O'Brien, drawn in 5. Sheila adored these conditions. He's been really patient with her because she won 2 earlier on in the season. She's been crying out for a bit of cut in the ground, and she gets that here. I know she's £18 higher than her first win for Joseph, but I think there's more to come, and I think Galway might suit when they go a decent pace, and she'll hopefully pick up the pieces. So the best bet at Galway on day 4 is Mark
Coybeagle. Come on, you boys in green, we'll go for them.
Okay, and I'm going to go for a Song of the Sky in the 5:15. That's it from myself, David Jennings, and Mark Boylan here in Galway. Best of luck at Ladies' Day in Galway.
Paddy Power are offering a money-back special in one race every day at Glorious Goodwood and the Galway Festival. That's one race at Goodwood and Galway every day this week. Check out our app for more information.
Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18+. Begambleaware.org.